Hi, this is Vikas Dubey, BA Part 2 Faculty of Social Sciences. Now we are going to record the English third paper, poetry. William Shakespeare, 1564 to 1660, Life and Works. Others avoid our question, though are free. Shakespeare is really unquestionable because he is the greatest among all the great poets. He knows the true philosophy of life and also knows the art, how to make man glee. It is a matter of great regret that the world does not know much about his personal life. The men of letters and critics continue to engage in argument and research over him still today. The greatest poet and dramatist of all the times, William Shakespeare, was born on 23rd April 1564 at Stratford-on-Avon. His father, John Shakespeare, was a leading citizen of the town and was at one time its high bailiff. His education started at his hometown. He seems to have been a riotous youth, so he could not get good education. In the meantime, he married with Annie Hathaway. The first child was Susanna, and in 1585 were born the twins Hamnet and Judith. Due to misfortune of his father, he had to leave the house for London. There he started his career as an actor. By 1592, he had been established as an actor and playwright. In 1599, the Globe Theatre was built, and he was one of the four members of the company who subscribed for a share in the venture. In 1603, King James took the company under his patronage, and Shakespeare became one of the king's men. Now he had become very rich. In 1613, the Globe was burnt, and he returned to Stratford again. There he died on 23rd April 1616. Shakespeare wrote 37 dramas, among them Hamlet, King Lear, Macbeth, Othello, The Merchant of Venice, Henry IV, Romeo and Juliet are world-famous dramas. Along with dramas, he wrote many poems and 154 sonnets. Shakespeare as a sonneteer. First of all, what is a sonnet? The term sonnet has been used in Italy for the first time. What had imported the sonnet from Italy, and Suré had invented the English form of the sonnet. Their songs and sonnets were published together in Tottel's Miscellany in 1336. However, the technical peculiarity of the sonnet was not realized in the earlier years of the Elizabethan reign. The word sonnet was used differently for any sort lyric. The sonnet proper remained forgotten and neglected till the publication in 1391 of Sidney's sonnet sequence called Strophel and Stella. The publication of the Strophel and Stella at once caught the imagination of the people and gave rise to the vogue of sonnet. Everybody tried his hand at it, mostly to express his love for some imagined mistress. The accounts for the artificiality of the most of the Elizabethan sonnets. So far as the form of sonnets is concerned, it is a kind of lyric poetry in 40 lines. It has two forms, Italian or Petrarchan sonnet and English or Shakespearean sonnet. Italian sonnet is often known as the Petrarchan, but it is sometimes called the classical as being the model, which other countries followed later. It is a short poem of 14 lines expressing one single thought or feeling. It is composed of two parts, the octave stanza of 8 lines and the sestet a stanza of 6 lines. Its rhyme scheme is ABBA, ABBA, CDE, CDE. Sometimes sestet form changes. Milton's On His Blindness is roughly an Italian sonnet. Thus, the Italian or Petrarchan sonnet is the origin of English sonnet, where Suray, Sidney, Spenser, Milton, Wordsworth, Arnold, and many others followed the Italian form of the sonnet. William Shakespeare, among all the Elizabethans, has more or less new epoch. So far as sonnet is concerned, it was he who started a new form of sonnet and gave a new originality to it. Though this new form has been adopted by Suray, the rhyme scheme of which is widely different from that of Italian model. He wrote his sonnet in 3 quatrains, in alternate rhymes followed by concluding couplet. Later on, this type of rhyming form of sonnet is Shakespearean sonnet. The new form of the sonnet is AB, AB, CD, CD, EF, EF, GG. It has no pause and turn of thought at the end of the 8th line. It works right up to the final couplet, where the highest peak of the poet's thought is reached. Though there is no set range of subjects for the sonnet, Shakespeare had limited its theme to love. Shakespeare's sonnets were written in moments snatched from work for the theatre. His 154 sonnets were first published in 1609, and as Wordsworth has put it, it was with this key that the poet unlocked his heart. It is in the sonnets alone that the poet directly expresses his feelings. They touch the perfection in their phraseology, in their perfect blending of sense and sound, in their versification. Shakespeare's sonnet sequence is the casket which encloses the most precious pulse of Elizabethan lyricism, some of them unsurpassed by any lyricist. Thank you. Next comes the poem of William Shakespeare, Fear No More the Heat of the Sun. The poetic lines of poem, Fear No More the Heat of the Sun. Fear no more the heat of the sun, nor the furious winter's rages. Thou thy worldly task hast done, home art gone, and then thy voyages. Golden lads and girls all must, as chimney sweepers come to dust. Fear no more the frown of the great, though art past the tyrant's stroke. Care no more to clothe and eat. To thee the reed is as the oak, the sceptre learning physic must all follow this and come to dust. Fear no more the lightning flash, nor the all-dreaded thunder stone. Fear not slander, censor wrath, though hast finished joy and moan. All lovers young, all lovers must consign to thee and come to dust. No exorciser harm thee, nor no witchcraft charm thee. Ghost unlaid forbear thee, nothing ill come near thee. Quiet consummation have, and renowned by the grave. William Shakespeare. Now, summary of the poem. In the poem Fear No More the Heat of the Sun, the poet William Shakespeare presents a very vivid and philosophical tone about the life. According to him, death is not to be feared. It should be accepted with calmness. To him, death makes a man free from all the worries and problems of the life. Death is common to all, either the happy and healthy boys and girls of the rich families or the miserable chimney sweepers. He further tells that death is for all, there is no distinction to it. Kings learned, men and doctors also succumb to death. Even lovers have to embrace death. Presenting a philosophical attitude to death, he writes that there is no need to fear death. The dead men are really happy. They do not fear anything on earth. They need not also worry about their physical needs. To them, the big and the small are absolutely the same, and so they do not make any distinction between the mighty oak and the fragile reed. Death overpowers everyone. Monarchs, scholars, and doctors will all die in course of time. The dead men do not care for any remark, as it puts an end to all the feelings of joy and sorrow. The young lovers have to meet with death. There is no magician who can harm it, nor any witch can harm it. No ghost can make any fear. A person will be free from all the troubles and problems, and he can sleep peacefully in the grave. Hindi Sarans. Prastut Kavita Fear No More the Heat of the Sun सूर्य के ताप से भयभीत न हो के अंतर्गत महान कवि विलियम शेक्सपियर अत्यंत प्रभावशाली एवं दार्शनिक विचार जीवन के बारे में बताता है। उसके अनुसार मृत्यु से डरने की कोई आवश्यकता नहीं, इसे शांति के साथ स्वीकार करना चाहिए। इसके अनुसार मृत्यु प्रत्येक को हर प्रकार की कठिनाइयों एवं परेशानियों से मुक्ति प्रदान कर देता है। यह धनी एवं स्वस्थ बालक एवं बालिकाओं के लिए भी आता है, साथ ही दीनहीन निर्धन चिमनी साफ करने वाले बालक को भी प्रभावित करता है। वह आगे कहता है कि मृत्यु सभी को समान रूप से प्रभावित करता है। यहाँ यह राजा महाराजा दार्शनिक डॉक्टर सभी को प्रभावित करता है, यहाँ तक कि प्रेमी जनों को भी मृत्यु आती है। मृतक व्यक्ति बड़ा प्रसन्न होता है, उसे पृथ्वी के किसी कार्य का भय नहीं रह जाता। उसे अपने को के सांसारिक एवं शारीरिक वस्तुओं की आवश्यकता नहीं रह जाती। मृत्यु के लिए छोटे बड़े सभी समान होते हैं, चाहे वह ओक का विशाल वृक्ष हो या सामान्य घास का तिनका। मृत्यु सबको प्रभावित करता है। समय के अनुसार राजा, ज्ञानी, डॉक्टर सभी उसकी लपेट में आते हैं। मृतक व्यक्ति को ना तो आकाशीय विद्युत का भय होता है और ना तेज हवाओं का, ना तो उन्हें ज्ञान, ना तो उन्हें किसी सांसारिक व्यक्ति के ताने या कहने सुनने का। मृत्यु को ना तो कोई जादूगर प्रभावित कर सकता है, ना कोई चुड़ैल या जादूगरनी प्रभावित कर सकती है, ना तो कोई भूत डरा सकता है। यह सभी समस्या और कठिनाइयों से मुक्ति होती है। मृत व्यक्ति कब्र में शांति से सोया रहता है। द एम एंड ऑब्जेक्ट ऑफ द पोएट इन द पोएम इंट्रोडक्शन। इन द पर्टिकुलर पोएम फियर नो मोर द हीट ऑफ द सन द पोएट प्रेजेंट्स द फिलोसफी ऑफ द लाइफ एंड डेथ। दिस पर्टिकुलर पोएम हैज बीन टेकन फ्रॉम एक्ट फोर्थ Scene second of Cymbeline. This song is often called Dirge for Fiddle because in the play it is sung by the two brothers of Imogen River about what they believe to be the dead body of the fiddle. In fact, it is Imogen in disguise and she is not dead but in a drugged sleep. Thinking that fiddle has died, he sang a song for peace of the departed soul. Shakespeare's views on death. Death is natural. It will come one day to everybody. Shakespeare points out that death should be accepted with a spirit of calm resignation. It puts an end to man's miseries. Hence, instead of fearing it, a man should accept it as a great relief and consolation. Death is universal. It affects all, either rich or poor. As he writes, golden lads and girls all must, a chimney sweeper, come to dust. Knowledge and power cannot protect a man from death. It will come to the king and emperors, scholars and doctors too, sooner or later. Death does not spare even the young lover. So, death should be accepted as a natural play. The poet further writes that the dead man need not fear the frown of the great or the power of a tyrant. They need not also worry about their physical needs. The men do not fear the flash of lightning or the roar of thunder. There is neither any magician, nor any witch, nor any ghost who can make any fear with the dead man. He is fully free from all the problems and difficulties of life. Now, explanation with reference to the context of the different paras of poem. First, fear no more of the sun, nor the furious winter's rages, though thy worldly task hast done, home art gone, and then thy wages, golden lads and girls all must, as chimney sweepers, comes to dust. Reference. These lines have been taken from the poem Fear No More the Heat of the Sun, composed by the greatest poet and dramatist William Shakespeare. Context. In these particular lines, the poet expresses his idea about the death. These particular lines have been taken from Act 4th, Scene 2nd of Cymbeline. This song is often called a dirge for fiddle. Shakespeare here describes a rather universal theme. Explanation of these lines. Here, the poet says that the dead do not fear anything. The oppressive heat of summer or the biting cold of winter does not trouble them. It is very natural that man comes in the world and performs his duties, and after performing his duties in the world, he goes to heaven, where he leads a blessed life. He further writes that death overpowers the healthy and happy boys and girls of the rich families, as well as the poor chimney sweepers. Now, the second para. Fear no more the frown of the great, though art past the tyrant's stroke, care no more to clothe and eat. To thee, the reed is as the oak, the sceptre learning physic must all follow this and come to dust. Context. In these particular lines, the poet William Shakespeare expresses his idea about the philosophy of death. According to him, death is natural and universal. It will come to all, later or sooner. Either he is rich or poor, or wise or fool. There is no distinction for it. Explanation of these lines. Here, in the poem, the poet says that the dead man need not fear the angry look of the great or the powerful oppressor. He further says that the dead man have no care about their physical appearances, whether they wear good clothes or they have good food to eat. The big and small both are absolutely the same. Either it is very like an oak tree or it is very small as grass. There is no distinction between the mighty oak and the reed. Death overpowers everyone, either he is a king or an emperor or a great doctor or a wise man or anyone else. Everyone has to die sooner or later, so one should not worry about death because it is natural. Now, the next and last paragraph of stanza of the poem. Fear no more the lightning flash, nor the all dreaded thunder stone. Fear not slander, since your race thou hast finished joy and moan. All lovers young, all lovers must consign to thee and come to dust. Reference will be same. Context. In these particular lines, the poet William Shakespeare expresses his idea about the universal effect of death. According to him, death is true. A person who takes birth has to die. One day either he has power and pelf or has great knowledge. But one thing is very true, that after death there is no agony and pain to him. He is fully free from all the obstacles of the life. Now, explanation of the stanza. Here, in the poem, the poet says that the dead man do not fear from the flash of lightning or roar of thunder. They are also free from all the harsh comments of the world. They do not worry about the wrath and vengeance of the mighty and powerful man in the world. They are also free from all the joys and woes of the life. They are no men who are free from the death. Even young lovers too have been affected by it. Everyone has to decay one day. Death is merely a means which shows the path of heaven, where men get all peace and joy. But it is also true that there is no man who will be safe from it. He will have to come to dust one day. Now, the last stanzas of the poem. No exorciser harm thee, nor no witchcraft charm thee. Ghost unlaid forbear thee, nothing ill come near thee. Quiet consummation have and renowned by the grave. Reference will be shame. Context. In these particular lines, the poet William Shakespeare expresses his idea about the great philosophy of death. According to him, it is death which makes man free from all pain of the world. After death, he gets all the peace and gets heaven, where he lives without any obstacle of life. Now, the explanation of the stanza. Here, in the poem, the poet says, after death, there is no power which can make man worry. Even the powerful magician cannot harm him. There is no witch who can bring any problem to him by her craft. No ghost can bring any fear to him. The poet wants to say that there is no power in the world which can disturb or trouble the dead man. There is merely peace and joy to him. Death is not a cruel thing. According to the poet, death is a consolation rather than a regret. After death, man sleeps in peace in the grave. He feels heavenly joy there, leaving all the pains, problem and agony of life. Thank you. This is the end of the poem, Fear No More Heat of the Sun. Now, the next poem of William Shakespeare, Sonnet number 73. First of all, the lines of Sonnet. That time of year thou mayst in me behold, when yellow leaves or none or few do hang upon those boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs where late the sweet birds sang, in me thou seest the twilight of such day, as after sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away, death's second self that seals up all in rest, in me thou seest the glowing of such free, that on the ashes of his youth doth lie, as the death bed whereon it must expire, consumed with that which it was nourished by. This thou perceivest, which makes thy lover more strong to love that well which thou must leave before long. Now, the summary of the poem. In the poem Sonnet number 73, the poet William Shakespeare expresses his idea about the value of time. According to him, time can never stop or be held back, but he remembers his past, how the yellow leaves fall from the trees in the spring and birds sing on the dry stem of the tree near the church. The poet pondered and pondered about his past. No doubt his past was effective. The light of that time can be felt. He further writes, as after the sun that sets in the west and fades, dim light spreads all over in the environment, and by takes away the light, and black night spreads all over. He compares death as black night. Lastly, he writes that the light of the past can be read in the eyes of man. A man who is on the deathbed must be die, but it can be read from his face how he was in the past. It is a natural truth that nothing will remain on the earth, but the poet makes it immortal through his verse. Hindi Sharans. प्रस्तुत कविता सॉनेट नंबर 73 के अंतर्गत कवि शेक्सपियर समय की महत्ता को प्रस्तुत करते हैं. उनके अनुसार समय कभी नहीं रुकता या इसे कभी पकड़ा नहीं जा सकता, किंतु वह अपने विगत जीवन के बारे में विचार करता है कि बसंत ऋतु में पीले पत्ते गिर जाते हैं और पक्षी चर्च के सूखे वृक्ष के तनों पर गाते रहे. कवि विचारता रहा अपने भूतकाल के बारे में. निसंदेह उसका भूतकाल बड़ा प्रभावशाली था. उस समय के चमक की अनुभूति की जा सकती है. वह आगे लिखता है कि सूर्य के पश्चिम में छिपने के बाद धुंधला प्रकाश फैलता है संपूर्ण वातावरण में और धीरे धीरे प्रकाश पूर्णतः समाप्त होकर काली रात छा जाती है. वह काली रात की तुलना मृत्यु से करता है. अंत में वह लिखता है कि भूतकाल का प्रकाश मनुष्य की आंखों में पढ़ा जा सकता है. एक मनुष्य जो मृत्युशैया पर है वह अवश्य मरेगा, किंतु उसे उसके चेहरे से पढ़ा जा सकता है. यह प्राकृतिक सत्य है कि पृथ्वी पर कुछ भी अमर नहीं है, किंतु कवि का विश्वास है कि उसकी कविता उसके विचारों को अमरत्व प्रदान करेगी. The critical appreciation of the poem. Shakespeare, O great Shakespeare, thou art sovereign for all the time. No doubt it is fully true, because he himself writes, though the worldly things will decay, yet his verse will remain forever. The present poem, sonnet number 73, is one of the most remarkable sonnet among his 154 sonnets. It is very philosophical. Here the poet wants to say that though the time is not static, it changes every moment, but it gives such a light to the man through which he can be read. Aim, object, and thought of the poem. Thou art immortal for the truth and beauty, and Muse herself blessed thee to gain the victory. Shakespeare is truly immortal because of his music and for truth of all humanity. His verse has universal truth. So, till his verse will remain, he will be remembered on the earth. His sonnets are the echo of the soul. He presents himself through his sonnets, as he writes in the sonnet 73. To love that well thou must live ere long. He wants to say here, the world hath decay. Nothing will remain on the earth. If there will be anything, it is his verse. The love of poet will be immortal forever, and his love is his sonnet. It is because his verse comes out from his soul, and the soul never dies. So, his sonnet will also never die. The aim of the poet to write sonnet number 73 is to teach how to utilize the time. Time is the most powerful thing on the earth. It never stops. It goes on and on. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can hold it. But a man can see his past. He can do his own justice, whether he has utilized the time or he has spoiled his life. The object of the poet is very clear. He wants to give a message. Do good, get good. Be good, all good, so good. Let the goodness come to us for divine good. So he says that the truth of the past can be read in the eyes of the man, whether he has done good in his young age or only he has spoiled his life. He further tells that a person who is on the deathbed, and it is also sure he will die, but it can be read from his face what was his past history. Undoubtedly, the sonnet 73 touches the heart, inspires the mind, and arouses the soul. There is the philosophy for human beings and humanity. There is a teaching, there is a lesson, there is a path of progress, there is an inspiration to do the truth, the beauty, and the good. Now, the style, diction, figures, art, and rhyme. The style of the sonnet 73 is superb. It is philosophic. It is lyrical. There is music. There is magic. It charms the mind. It touches the heart. It brings inspiration in soul. The sonnet is deductive, yet it is emotional. The diction of the poem represents the age. The sonnet is written in 1599 to 1606. It is mostly 16th century. The shadow of the Middle Ages can be seen in the diction. Poetical language has been used. For example, thou mayest fed, etc. The words contain music, so the selection of words is marvelous. Shakespeare's sonnets are mostly remembered for their figures. Shakespeare is great in using figurative language and style. Here, in the sonnet 73, there is simile, there is personification, and there is alliteration. Idiom has been also used. So far as rhyming art is concerned, it represents Shakespeare's own style. The form of the poem is AB, AB, CD, CD, EF, EF, GG. Now, explanation with reference to the context. First of all, first stanza of the poem. That time of year thou mayest in me behold, when yellow leaves or none or few do hang upon those boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs where late the sweet birds sang. Reference. These lines have been taken from the sonnet number 73, composed by the greatest poet and dramatist William Shakespeare. Context. In these particular lines, the poet expresses his idea about the value of time. According to him, time is precious. It should not be spoiled. It always runs, but a time comes in the man's life when he thinks about his own life as to how he has passed his past. Explanation. Here, in these lines, the poet thinks about the past. He imagines how his life has passed. There is a remembrance in his mind, and he thinks during the spring season. A few yellow leaves hang on the stem, and mostly the trees are bare due to the cold waves of autumn. He ponders further on how the birds sit on the bare trees of a ruined church, how those birds are flying to and fro. He is thinking fully about his past. Now, the second stanza of the poem. In me, thou seest the twilight of such day as after sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away. Death's second self that seals up all in rest. Reference will be same. Context. In these particular lines, the poet Shakespeare expresses his deep thought about his past. How glorious it was. He was pondering over that. No doubt it is his golden memory of his life. Now, explanation. Here, in these lines, the poet thinks about his golden past, which was really very loving to him. There was a golden light in his eyes. That was the happiest remembrance of his life. He can look at that through his imagination. The sun sets in the west and there is dusk all around. Time goes on, and there is darkness, fully black like death. Here, death is compared with the dark, and after death, man sleeps in the dark. Now, the last stanza of the poem. In me, thou seest the glowing of such fire, of such flame, that on the ashes of his young youth doth lie, as the deathbed whereon it must expire, consumed with that which it was nourished by. This thou perceivest, which makes thy lover more strong, to love that well which thou must leave ere long. Reference will be shame. Context. In these particular lines, the poet expresses his idea about the philosophy of the life. It is a universal philosophy. It is great philosoph- it is great psychological. According to him, the truth of the past can be read on the face of a man who is on the deathbed, who is about to die. Now, explanation of these particular lines. Here, the poet thinks that the light of the past and the golden buoyancy of youth can be seen on his face. The face is the mirror of the past where his history, his action, and his gravity are written. One can read them easily. He presents the truth. He says that as a man who is about to die, if you read his face, you will find the sign of his past. Everyone can read his history. To him, face speaks the nature and gravity of the youth of the man. Only to see the face of the man, one can imagine what his past was like. One can learn how he was brought up and how he was scared. Lastly, the poet says about the universal truth and tells, there is nothing on the earth which will remain forever. Everything has an end in due course of time, but there is one which will remain. That is his muse, his love, his verse, because these are related to his soul. And word knows the soul never dies. It is immortal. So through his verse, his love will be immortal. Thank you. This is the end of the second poem of Shakespeare. Now, next and the Bachelor degree Maharaj. Next and last poem of the William Shakespeare. Sonnet number 116. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark, whose words unknown, although his height be taken, loves not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickles compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the age of doom. If this be error and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved. Now, the summary of the poem. In the sonnet number 116, the great test poet and dramatist William Shakespeare expresses his deep thought and great philosophy about the divine love. He says there are no obstacles and hindrances in the union of two lovers. True love never changes. The love that alters when it gets the chance is not true love. It never bends before them who want to separate them. True love never gets defeated. The true love is constant. It is like the pole star. It is like a lighthouse. It faces the waves of the sea, but it is never shaken. In the same manner, true love is never shaken. As the pole star shows the way to wandering ships, similarly, true love leads the young lovers in the right way. Though we can measure depth of love, but we cannot measure the value of the love in human life. Time is like a cruel farmer. Beauty of the body melts, but true love never fades. He challenges all to prove him wrong. He admits that he is then neither a poet nor anybody loved in this materialistic world. This verse describes the qualities of love. हिंदी सारांश प्रस्तुत सोनेट 116 के अंतर्गत महानतम कवि और नाटककार विलियम शेक्सपियर ने अपने गंभीर दर्शन एवं आध्यात्मिक प्रेम को प्रस्तुत करने का प्रयत्न किया है। वह कहता है कि सच्चे प्रेमियों के मार्ग को बाधा और परेशानी नहीं है। सच्चा प्रेमी कभी बदलता नहीं है। वह प्रेम जो अवसर प्राप्त करने पर बदल जाता है, सच्चा प्रेमी नहीं है। यह उनके समक्ष कभी नहीं झुकता जो इसे अलग करना चाहते हैं। सच्चा प्रेम कभी हार नहीं मानता। सच्चा प्रेम स्थिर है, यह ध्रुव तारा है, यह प्रकाश स्तंभ है, यह सागर की लहरों का थपेड़ा सहता है फिर भी डगमगाता नहीं है। इसी प्रकार सच्चा प्रेम कभी भी डगमगाता नहीं है। जिस प्रकार ध्रुव तारा भटकते हुए जहाजों को मार्ग दर्शाता है, उसी प्रकार सच्चा प्रेम प्रेमियों को मार्ग बताता है। यद्यपि हम प्रेम की गहराई नाप सकते हैं, किंतु हम मानवीय जीवन में प्रेम के महत्व को नहीं माप सकते। समय एक निर्दयी किसान के समान है। शारीरिक सुंदरता तो ढल जाती है, किंतु सच्चा प्रेम हमेशा एक सा बना रहता है। वह विश्वजनों को चुनौती देता है कि वह मान लेगा कि वह कवि नहीं है और ना ही इस संसार में किसी ने प्यार किया। यदि उसकी बात को कोई असत्य सिद्ध कर दे, प्रस्तुत सोनेट सच्चे प्रेम का गुण बताता है। क्रिटिकल अप्रिसिएशन ऑफ द पोएम इंट्रोडक्शन। लव इज नॉट लव इफ इट चेंजेस। दिस फिलोसफी ऑफ लव हैज बीन प्रेजेंटेड इन द सोनेट नंबर 116 ऑफ द ग्रेट पोएट विलियम शेक्सपियर। क्रिटिक्स आर going still on research to know the reality of Shakespearean sonnets. Here he presents the philosophy of divine love, aim, object, thought and philosophy. William Shakespeare is a philosopher of human nature. The emotion and passion are the most important factors of human life. If they are not, there is no sign of humanity. According to the poet, the emotion of love is above all because it is the power of Almighty God in man. True love is immortal. It cannot be defeated by anyone. Where there is true love, there is neither any obstacle nor any hindrance. It goes smoothly. It has some sublime power. It is the only thing which shows the path of progress and one can touch the horizon. The poet presents very vivid and organic attitude of love. To him, it is static. It never changes in due course of time. There is no cheating in the heart of lovers. They never change their attitude even if they get the chance. The thought of the sonnet is very clear. He himself writes, love is not love which alters when it alteration finds. According to him, love is like the pole star which shows the path to the wandering ships. It faces many storms as the light house of the sea. The aim and object of the poem is to tell the greatness of the true love. True love never dies, never melts as physical charms, as he points out. Love is not time's fool. Though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come, it is very natural that outer appearances go down day by day. But true love has no decay. In the last couplet, the poet challenges and all and writes, if this be error and upon me proved, I never writ nor no man ever loved. To him there is not true love in selfish human beings, because true love may be got only by soul sacrifice and by great penance. Thus, the philosophy of the poem is as Acharya Sati Sri says. The beauty of love is the pleasure of virtue. So be virtuous for divine virtue. So true love is all free from the malice and lust. There is purity of heart, mind and soul. Style, diction, figure, art and rhyme of the poem. The style of the poem is no doubt philosophic. It is full of lyricism. There is a sense of morality. It is full of music. The style is deductive and descriptive both. So far as the diction of the sonnet is concerned, it is effective and it touches the heart and mind. The words that have been selected, no doubt, are poetic. Every chosen word has its importance. The whole sonnet is figurative. There is a charming sense of imagination. There are simile, alliteration, metaphor, etc. The rhyming of the sonnet is AB, AB, CD, CD, EF, EF, GG. Now, explanation with reference to that context of the stanzas of the poem. Let me not to the marriage of the two minds, admit impediments, love is not love. Which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Reference. These lines have been taken from the sonnet number 116 composed by one of the greatest poets and dramatist of Elizabethan age, William Shakespeare. Context. In these particular lines, the poet expresses his idea about the true love. According to him, true love never dies. There is not any obstacle in the way of true love. It can never be defeated by anyone because it is blessed by Almighty God. Explanation. Here, in these lines, the poet says that there are no barriers or problems in the union of true lovers. According to him, true love never changes in due course of time, even if it gets a chance. To him, there are many lovers who forget their love when they get any better chance in the life. They are fully selfish, but the true love never departs though. There came many difficulties to him. True love is very powerful. It never bends before those who try to remove it. In other words, love never changes and never accepts any defeat. Now, the next stanza of the poem. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempest and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark, whose words unknown, although his height be taken. In these lines, the poet expresses his deep thought about the true love. According to him, the true love is very like the pole star or the lighthouse of the sea, which show the path to the ships which forget their ways. Explanation of this stanza. Here, in these lines, the poet describes the greatness of true love. According to him, true love is constant. He compares true love to a lighthouse and the pole star, as a lighthouse is constant after facing many stormy waves of the sea and shows the way to the ships. Similarly, true love also stands on its place as lighthouse. It stands even after facing the storm of the ocean. It is not shaken. In the same manner, true love is also not shaken in the life, even if there comes any storm. As the pole star shows the right way to the wandering ships, similarly, true love shows the right path to the young lovers. He further says that one can measure the depth of love, but there is none who can measure the value of love in human life. Now, the last stanza of the poem. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come, love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the age of doom. If this be error and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved. Reference will be shame. Context. In these particular lines, the poet expresses his idea about the value and validity of true love. According to him, true love is static. It never changes in due course of time, and also never bends before such a man as wants to separate the true lovers by his powers. Explanation. Here, in these lines, the poet says that love is constant. It does not change after getting, even could change, or by the effect of the time. According to him, time is like a cruel farmer. As a farmer cuts the weeds, similarly, time ruins the outer beauty of lips and cheeks, but true love never gets diminished and never decays. Time has no effects on true love. It remains static till the end of the world. Lastly, the poet makes a challenge. He says that if anybody proves him wrong, he will admit that he is not a poet and nobody has loved in this world. Thus, the poet admires the true love to him. It is immortal. It will remain till the world ends. Thank you. This is the end of all poems of William Shakespeare. Thank you.